Ring the King at 909-KING.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
It is hour number two of the Sports Hangover. Jerry Valancourt kicked things off last hour. Eric Alexander still hanging out here at Vinny's. How are the meatball sliders? I do want to ask you that.
They were excellent. You know, I've heard about these meatball sliders. Yep. And the pretzel bun, I was a little curious about. Because when you think of pretzel, you think of like a hard texture. When you bite into it, you got a tug on it. No, it was a pretzel bun, but it was very, very soft. I was very surprised, pleasantly surprised.
It was like one of those commercials for a pizza place or something like that. When you took the bite, again, it's not like I was staring at him eating. You can't help it. The long string of mozzarella cheese coming from your mouth to the bun. I mean, it was a good foot. You had a lot of mozzarella on there.
They were excellent. I must say, they were excellent.
Well, there you go. He joined us in hour number one, and he talked, of course, about playing in that 2003 game against Georgia.
And we're I'm still here.
Yeah, he's still here. We're going to talk to Chris Blair, the voice of the Tigers, here in about 30 seconds about the new game against LSU in Georgia coming up on Saturday. Ben Heisler from Fantasy Sports Markets answered your fantasy questions last hour. And that was Brian Johnson wrapping up hour number one. Coming up next segment, Mike Nabors covers the Buccaneers and Saints for CST. Loves the Saints, but he has a website and covers the Bucks since he lives in Tampa every single day. So who better to tell us a little about the Bucks and Falcons? We talked with V about the Panthers because it's the Saints bye week, but we're kind of looking at the NFC South and taking advantage of doing that. Mike Conti from Atlanta does the pregame, halftime, postgame for the Falcons. Who better to ask him about Atlanta? Tampa at Atlanta this weekend. So that's why we're featuring that. And at 2:30, Garland Gillen from Fox 8 is going to do picks with us. Let's bring in the voice of the LSU Tigers, Mr. Chris Blair, who joins us again as he has the last couple of Thursdays. Appreciate your time, man, at LSU Tigers Voice. What's going on, Chris?
Oh, not much, man. Just finished a great lunch with the legendary coach John Brady from LSU. Had a little sit-down here at legendary TJ Ribs in Baton Rouge as we head towards the end of the week, getting ready for that pretty big matchup Saturday.
No doubt. I want to get to that in a quick sec, but you mentioned Coach Brady. Obviously, you guys call the games during the season. A lot of excitement about LSU basketball this year, and unfortunately it started with tragedy a couple days ago here last week. And just how are things in Baton Rouge with the loss of Wayne Sims there?
You know, without question, it certainly was a shock to the system for this team, you know. Coach Wade talked about it. It's something that is going to be continuing, not just over the next couple of weeks, next couple of months. I mean, this is going to be with these young men who, you know, were brothers to Wade Sims. I mean, it's something they're going to have to cope with probably the rest of their lives. Certainly not something you plan for. And as Coach Wade has said many times, it's not in the coach's handbook. So they're doing their best, you know, again, preseason practice getting up for the season, which, believe it or not, is inside 30 days. But it's a talented team, and again, they're doing their best to try to take this horrible tragedy, make something for the team, and to honor Wade as they go throughout the season. So it's going to be interesting, but the word is that it's still taking it day by day.
As for the basketball team, again, that excitement kind of warranted, huh?
Oh, without question. That's one of the things Coach Brady and I were talking about at lunch today was, you know, the excitement from the fan base, the campus, and obviously within the basketball program with Coach Wade and his staff and these players. You're going to have some veterans, a few veterans, but a lot of new faces that are expected to come in and contribute very early. And, you know, they're highly touted coming into this program, highly touted players on the national scene that Coach Wade's been able to assemble. So it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of meld together early on in the year. They'll have some tests, but they'll have an opportunity to kind of get together before they start conference play in January, which, you know, you can look at any preseason poll. You're going to see a number of SEC teams, just like last year, that are up at the top 25. So it's going to be another really hard SEC schedule. But the good news is LSU certainly has talent on paper. Now they just got to go get it done on the floor.
Southeastern Louisiana, Tuesday, November 6th is when things tip off there. Got Memphis in the early part of the schedule as well, Louisiana Tech, and then, of course, you start getting into a little bit more action later on. So right around the corner, Chris, you'll be calling Little Hoops, but, of course, football, oh, man, a big one on Saturday. Let's kind of quickly put a wraps on Florida. Eric and I talked last hour. I don't get the sense and feel LSU fans were really, I wouldn't say disappointed, but, you know, kind of like the world is ending type stuff, Chris, as it can be sometimes, based off that loss on Florida. And I think when you have the number one and number two team country coming to your place, there's still a lot that you can do and reach big goals. So you get that sense and feel, whether it's the coaches show this week or just walking around campus, where people are excited about Saturday despite coming off of a loss.
I think most people felt like there were missed opportunities. I think also they will tell you that when you go back and watch the film, and maybe if you can take a little emotion out of it, just look at it, that, you know, Florida made some plays, and you got to tip your cap to the Florida Gators. I mean, they needed some plays. Felipe Franks didn't have a wonderful day, didn't have an All-American day, but he did enough. The running backs, B. Ryan and Scarlett, they got some hard yards against what typically you would hope is a little more stingy LSU defense. So I think you're right. I don't think they thought the world was coming to an end because, you know, Florida got the win 27-19. And most people who watched the game realized that, you know, outside of that pick six, it was a game that once again was going to go down to the wire and could have gone and did go all the way down to the wire. So, you know, I think I took it from Joe Burrow. He met with the media on Monday. And said, guys, no reason to feel sorry for yourself. And so you got the number two team in the country coming to your house on Saturday. You better be ready. So, you know, that's kind of, I believe, the mantra of the Coach O, the staff, and really this team. I talked to Ed last night before we started the radio show, and he said it may have been the best 2 days of practice this season. He said he was very proud of the guys putting Florida another physical, another emotionally draining game. You know, very similar to Auburn, except the outcome wasn't the same. He said they put it behind them, and he said they were ready to play Monday. They really wanted to play Georgia on Monday just to get Saturday behind them. So I think as far as preparation goes, it's been a good week for LSU. Now it comes down to executing again on your home floor or home field.
All right, as you're putting your charts together and really some of the storylines going into this game, let's talk about maybe some of the matchups or just overall things to look at. I asked Eric the last question. What should LSU be more concerned with, the Georgia passing game or run game?
Oh, boy, that's hard to say because it really looks, when you watch Georgia, you know, the explosive passing game is all predicated on the success of the run and what Jake Fromm's able to do off of play action. And when you lose two guys like Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and you think, okay, they're going to kind of be down in that running game, which is what they like to do in the play action. And then you see what Elijah Holyfield and DeAndre Swift have done this year, and you're like, well, they didn't lose much.
Right.
They certainly are manageable in that backfield. Neither one of them alone has lit up the numbers. Obviously, Nick Brossette, I think, overall has more impressive numbers, but the combination of the two on the ground makes the rushing attack very potent. And then Jake Fromm is, you know, this is not a downgrade on him. He's not a super playmaking quarterback. He just manages the offense so well and is such an accurate passer. So because of that run game, you know, they do a little play action. He's got some playmaking receivers, and that's why he's completing 73% of his passes. And seven of the top eight receivers for Georgia are averaging over 10 yards per catch. I think that, again, I don't know that you get the passing game without the running game, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So I don't know that you can come in and simply say, okay, let's try to lock down on their receivers and not allow them to throw it, because they'll sit there and run at you. It's not very fancy. It's not very detailed what they do as far as the run game is concerned, but they're running behind a pretty good offensive line. And I don't know if you can pick your poison. I think you got to be ready for both. I think having Jacob Phillips back to help in the run stop with Devin White, as well as play in the middle of that field against the passing game and possibly rush and get some pressure on Fromm, is going to be a benefit. But I think one of the big X factors, once again, is going to be Grant Delpit. I think he's got to be active in the run as well as on the back end of that defense when Jake Fromm decides to go to the air.
Two final quick questions for you. We'll wrap up with how you think it's going to pan out on Saturday here, but you mentioned on the defense, that's what I was going to ask you. You saw in that game against Florida, really the offensive line have some trouble at times, and man, I can't stop thinking of what I saw in that national championship game with the Georgia defense. I mean, you saw speed, athleticism, size. What does that defense look like? Is LSU's offensive line going to have a difficult time on Saturday?
Well, I think the defensive secondary for Georgia may not be as playmaking as Florida. They're good, don't get me wrong. But the benefit Florida or Georgia has, I think, is in the linebacker play. If there was a weak link for Florida that I didn't think LSU kind of tried to exploit enough with the middle of the field against that linebacking core, they won't have that luxury. This is a pretty active linebacking group. It's a 3-4 defensive front. They got some big guys in that defensive front. To me, again, you got to find a way for Joe Burrow to know when that clock is ticking down to get rid of that football, because I think they're going to look at some of the backside pressure Florida had with their four-man front. Again, they had two great defensive ends, but I think they're going to allow their linebackers to roam a little bit, see if they can't catch Burrow again with that backside rush. So you got to know to get rid of the football, and I think at times you got to throw a couple of shots and try to stretch them. Because one thing I've seen Georgia give up, especially early in games this year, has been the rush. Missouri started out gangbusters running the football against Georgia. Now, they threw the pick six, got down a couple of scores early, and basically like every other team the Dogs have faced this year, they can't stick with the running game. They got to catch up. They got to go to the passing game, and that plays right into what Georgia wants you to do. So I think LSU's got to find a way to spread that defense a little bit with the passing game, but let Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Nick Brossette have some action between the tackles and out on the edge. The good news for LSU, mentioning the trouble with the offensive line,
yep,
they've had six different combinations in six games. This will be the first game this year where they played back-to-back consistent offensive line starters. Now, there are still some guys in there that are playing a little out of position or learning a position, but at least you won't have the crowd noise you had to contend with last week on the road, and you do have some familiarity with the guy who's next to you. And one of the things they all said this week talking to the media was it wasn't that guys can't get the job done. There were some technique issues. And if they can clean that up, I think they can have success on the ground. The problem is they got to keep the Georgia offense on the sideline. That's an efficient offense. The key stat for me, guys, is going to be third down efficiency for both teams. And I know that's a stat usually is pretty important. But Georgia this year almost flawless at home on third down conversion. They are a lot less effective on the road. The environment, the Tiger fans can create a Tiger Stadium. If you can keep Jake Fromm and Georgia on the sidelines, if you can keep converting your third downs, going 10 plays, 12 plays, and controlling the clock in the football, goes a long way to help LSU pull out a big win.
Well, I know there's a lot of excitement, and I know you'll be ready when that kickoff happens, 2:30 over on CBS and, of course, on the LSU Sports Radio Network. You and a host of folks are going to get you ready for that as well, pregame, post-half, and, of course, the game call as well. Follow Chris over on Twitter, folks, at LSU Tigers Voice. As always, man, I appreciate when you give us your time on Thursdays.
Well, again, look forward to it next week because we'll be saying the same thing.
Right,
another
exactly.
Big game. We can do that for the next couple of weeks if you want.
Just go ahead and book it, man. We're going to talk to you on Thursday. You know how it is. Thank you, Chris. I appreciate it, man.
All right, guys.
Yep, for sure. As we go to break, you know, you still have the headsets on, but I want to ask you this, Eric. That's a good thing. You just heard what Chris said there. It's every week, and this is kind of what you wanted to do, right? This is kind of what we were just talking about, how this is what I thought LSU's season needed to be, where every week it's an important game. Every week you're excited about the possibility of playing somebody, because that tells me you're trending in the right direction, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you think about where the state of the program was before the season started,
right.
I mean, nobody thought that we'd be 5-1. Is that a record? 4-1?
Yep.
5-1
yep.
At this point in time. So, yeah.
Getting up
to
number 5 in the country, by the way.
Exactly. Like, nobody would have imagined that we'd be sitting where we are right now. So every game is still important. Every game really means a lot to this team.
Our thanks to Dowen and his friends. Appreciate it so much for stopping by, having a little lunch here as well. Glad you enjoyed your meatball sliders.
Yeah, you mind if I stick around?
No, man. No, feel free. When we come back, we'll chat with Mike Neighbors. Mike from CST. Covers the Saints for them. And also, on the side, he's kind of like a double spy, double agent, because he actually covers the Buccaneers well for his website. So who better to tell us about the Bucs? I want to take a look at some of the other teams here in the NFC South. So we did that with Jerry V of the Panthers in the top of the 12 o'clock hour. Next is Mike Neighbors. Bottom of the hour, Mike Connie from 92.9 The Game, home of the Atlanta Falcons. They're 1-4, by the way. I'm trying not to laugh. Look, Eric smiled. See? I love it. Sports Hangover continues next. We're live from Vinny's on ESPN New Orleans.
Hi, I'm Jason Giles with The King Firm.
In New Orleans, there's only one king to ring when it comes to personal injury.
If you've been injured in an accident, ring the king at 909-KING.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids, finances, and insurance? Let State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and Cutoff help you to simplify and get to a better state. Because with Ashley Barrios handling your home, auto, and life insurance, you'll have more time for everything else. More money, too. Because adding State Farm policies could mean earning discounts worth up to 40%. Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios today and get to a better state with State Farm.
More than 50 years ago, SL Bank first opened its doors for business. We opened to serve the needs of families and businesses that had been largely ignored by bigger city banks and to operate as a true community bank. That means exceptional service, long-term relationships, value-driven accounts and services, and the assurance your financial future is important to us. Today, those commitments remain unchanged. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Frank's Supermarket is focused on customer service, quality products, competitive prices, and specialized service to the offshore oil industry. Let Frank's catering department do the cooking for you. The bakery has fresh breads and rolls, sandwich trays made daily, veggie trays, chicken salad, homemade chili, cakes, and pies. Need catering for a wedding, bridal shower, funeral, corporate meeting, or home party? Call Frank's Supermarket today in La Rose, Golden Meadow, Lockport, and Des Almas. Online shopping now available at franksupermarket.com.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Oh, won't you smile for me, Sarah?
If you feel like leaving, kind of like this. It's for Sarah, of course, here at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive.
Why don't you stay
Joey with the music. At ESPN Radio, Nola's going to tweet at us. You can call us 800-998-1003. Time to take a look at some of the other teams in the NFC South as the Saints have a bye week. He covers the Saints, and then he's a double agent. He also covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's up, Mike Neighbors? How are you, man?
Love me some Hall & Oates, man. Hall & Oates, great music for the intro. Outstanding.
Exactly. I like that little Hall & Oates as well. At Mike Neighbors is the way to follow over on Twitter. You were obviously with the Saints on Monday, and the interview with Drew Brees, the kids are all there as well. Man, what was your takeaway seeing the record? And just, I mean, it felt like a big moment. It felt like a special moment. The Saints today tweeted something really cool. Well, I think it was yesterday evening they did. They put together, Eric, I don't know if you saw all the fan reactions, like their Snapchats, their home videos, whatever they did on their phone, put it all together. It's about 3 minutes long. Go check it out at New Orleans Saints over there on Twitter, and you can see it. It's all fans' perspective from the stands when Brees broke the play. What was it like for you, man? I mean, you do the Drew Brees interview for CST every week, but that was a special one, wasn't it?
Well, he spoiled us. He spoiled us quite a bit, especially Monday Night Football. I mean, breaking Marino's record in 2011, the day after Christmas, and then a year later, he breaks Unitas' record on Monday Night Football. All wins, by the way, all great games. Mm-hmm. You know, my biggest takeaway was were his boys, because Drew has told, you know, me and all of us for years that it's real important that he plays long enough that his boys can remember him playing, Gus. And, you know, I've mentioned Carver, you know, big fan of Carver. You know, Carver can watch you play when you are an NFL quarterback. If that was the case, you know what that would mean to you. And he talked about that. They will never forget that night. And that, to me, was the biggest thing for him. Yeah, the record was great, but having his sons there. And I actually told him, I said, you know, the attendance was over 73,000 in the Dome, but it was such a big deal in New Orleans. I think, you know, 140,000 will say they were there that night because, I mean, everybody wanted to be there, no doubt.
Absolutely, and you felt it, right? I mean, you knew when he was coming up to the line of scrimmage, there was just something, you know, a little over 2 minutes. They're like, there's time. They're taking a shot because it was crazy because people in the press box, everyone had their phones. Everyone caught it and captured it, which tells you people were ready with their phones. I mean, it's not like it was at the 37-yard line. They knew. It's like people felt, you know what, here it comes, and they were going to make sure that they were going to capture that. So it was a spectacular moment to look at it from that perspective. So since you cover the Saints before we get to the Yucks here, what's your take on them being 4-1? How would you describe the Saints to somebody that's been away, hadn't caught the NFL? Oh, Saints are 4-1. Mike, how are they?
Well, I like the fact that Drew Brees hasn't had to be Superman. You know, okay. To me, it's been very impressive that Michael Thomas has been as impressive as he has been without much help. It's not like Colston, who had Lance Moore and Devery Henderson, Robert Meacham. I mean, he's been waiting on guys like Cameron Meredith and the Austin Carrs and the Traquan Smith to kind of come of age, which has made his accomplishments that much more impressive. Alvin Kamara has been Alvin Kamara, but Drew Brees hasn't thrown an interception. He's been efficient. I mean, kind of lost in the shuffle on Monday. He was the most efficient of any game he's ever had, and it was the most efficient game for any starter on Monday Night Football, I believe. So, you know, the defense has had its ups and downs, but I like the fact that Dennis Allen has tweaked things and they haven't panicked and they seem to bounce back from a rough game with a good performance. You got to love Justin Hardy stepping into Lattimore. So I want to see the secondary improve, but boy, being 4-1 with Ingram being out for the majority of it and with the secondary having its ups and downs, I think Sean Payton, who would never admit this, has to be happy, especially going into the bye week. And we saw how this offense was really sparked by Mark Ingram in so many ways because Kamara doesn't have to do anything. Thomas doesn't have to be the guy that takes pressure off of him. And we saw the receivers step up, I think, because everybody's keen on Ingram more. So it just benefited all parties having him back.
What a difference a couple of weeks makes, right? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming to New Orleans and surprise everybody. Ryan Fitzpatrick's being called the MVP after a couple of weeks. To have that Monday night game, I mean, it was all set up, Mike, there in Tampa for Ryan Fitzpatrick to take the team. And in a close game that did come back, they lose to the Steelers, and it's really hadn't been the same since. Jameis came in before the bye there, and now the bye, he's the starter. What's the mood and feeling there?
Well, I attended Jameis Winston's press conference a couple hours ago, and I think he's tired of answering questions, not only about things off the field, but about how he is on the field, because I will give him credit. I've been a critic of his for lying to the media last fall about the Uber incident, and then it proved that things were different than what he said. But Dirk Cutter said at the beginning of training camp, James is going to have to lead from the rear, something he's not used to doing. And he responded, Gus, and he had a great preseason. I think the hard thing for James, though, has the great preseason, then has to sit back and watch three games. Granted, it was his doing. You can't feel sorry for him. But I think now he's ready to roll. And you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick, it was a great story. But the amazing thing about it to me was Dirk Cutter said in the offseason when he found out about the suspension, he thought first thing in his mind he was surprised. And the second thing was he looked at the schedule and he said, okay, we'll have Fitzmagic for the first three games. But then the third game is a Monday night game, so it's going to be a short week. So he thought no matter what that Ryan Fitzpatrick would be that guy in the fourth week. Now, he thought he would continue with Ryan Fitzpatrick if he played well. But if he stumbled, then Jameis Winston would come in. Now, this was before the season started, right? Mm-hmm. So he's kind of a soothsayer because that's what happened. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick played well. Then he played in the Chicago game because it was a short week. But then everything just fell apart for this football team. I thought it was the right move to put Jameis Winston in the second half, even though Dirk Cutter said they thought they put Jameis in a bad situation. I think it was good for him to get his feet wet a little bit. But now he plays Atlanta, and Gus, Jameis Winston, the only team he has a winning record against in the NFC South is Atlanta. He's .500 against the Saints, and he's 2-4 against the Panthers.
Yeah, I know. It's It's one of those questions. I don't know if you really want to ask a Saints fan, who do you root for? Are you going for Atlanta this week? Because here's the thing. I want Atlanta to be terrible, but not too terrible. If they're too terrible, they pick in the top five and the top pick overall. So I need them to be about a 6-7 win team where they're irrelevant. They'll get a decent player, but not one of the top players. And, you know, Tampa beat the Saints. They always give the Saints. So I'm just going to say, I don't even like saying I'm rooting for Atlanta. It's just, it wouldn't be a bad thing if the Buccaneers don't win. I guess that's how I'm looking at it that way. But when you look at this game and this matchup, man, you know, if you are in Atlanta, they need this game. If there's any chance, they can't go 1-5 and think playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I throw objectivity out the window and I'm a Saints fan, you actually want the Bucs because remember before the season started, the NFC South, you know, many of us thought three teams would make the playoffs.
Yep.
Now, if the Bucs lose, and all of a sudden, you know, they're 2-3, the Falcons have a losing record. I think Carolina's still kind of a wild card right now. I'm not sure what to make of them at this point. But the Saints have pulled away a little bit, which is amazing, because you just said it, what a difference a few weeks make. They lost the opener against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and all of a sudden, they're pulling away now. So I think you want all these teams to just distance themselves even more from the Saints. And, you know, with Atlanta's banged-up defense, and the performance they had against Pittsburgh last week, I think Jameis Winston may have timed this just right in his return.
That's all the time we have for Mike Nabors. No, I can't out here. Yeah, look, you know, that's the thing. I don't know who to really root for or where to kind of go. But it'll be interesting to see where the rest of the season sort of goes. Mike, as always, man, appreciate your time. You can be followed over on Twitter at Mike Nabors. And, you know, enjoy the game. Where can folks go get some inside Buccaneer information from? What website, man?
Yeah, pewterpirates.com. Myself, along with Roy Cummings, he's covered the Buccaneers for decades, a long, long time before the Super Bowl years, which if you're a Bucs fan, that seems like a long centuries ago. But pewterpirates.com, we do a lot of video content. We have a podcast, a few extra Bucs, and to double dip here, check us out on Cox Sports Television. We take pride in having the best Saints recap shows. Scott Shanley, Deuce McAllister, Drew Brees, Victor Howell. We've been doing this for a long time, and you want the best Saints reaction after games, turn to Cox Sports TV right after the Sunday night football game, and primetime games will be live right after the games. Check us out.
Nice. Always a pleasure, man. Thank you, Mike.
Anytime, my friend.
Yep. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go to 92.9 The Game in Atlanta and talk to Mike Conte. Eric, as we go to break, though, I got to ask you, since you're sitting here listening to our conversation, right, it's sort of like you never want to root for Bama. You never want to root for one of those rivals, but I don't know. I mean, Bucks or Falcons here on Sunday?
Well, I mean, I think the first question you got to ask me, am I a Saints fan?
Oh, that's right. Well, I mean, you went with the Patriots. I know your Twitter profilers. I mean, so we're talking NFC here.
Yeah. Well, I think, okay, so if I am the Saints, I think I got to go your route. I mean, I think that I don't want Atlanta to be too bad.
Right.
You know?
Right?
Like, so I don't
Because they're still, look, their injuries to Deion Jones, I mean, it killed them. It hurt them. But they're still a very good team. And they still got Julio and Ridley and the likes and all that. The last thing you want to see that team go get is a top five draft pick that can really, really help them. So somewhere around 6 or 7 wins will be just fine for me. Out of the playoffs, but not high enough in the top 10. That's kind of what I'm feeling.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously still have a good team. They're hurting defensively, but they're going to be all right, I think.
Exactly. How good is Deion Jones?
The LSU Tigers.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hear you. He's showing his relevancy right now for sure. When we come back, Mike Conte will give us the lowdown on the Falcons. How are they taking a 1-4 start? That's next on ESPN New Orleans, live from Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie. We're here each and every Thursday. Come by, have lunch with us. I promise you lunch is good. And you'll love the happy hour specials, 3 to 7 each and every day. That includes Saturday and Sunday. You got dartboard tournaments Tuesday, shuffleboard tournaments on Thursday. And then, of course, as I mentioned, 3 to 7 are happy hour. So when you come check out the LSU-Georgia game here, if you're not in Tiger Stadium, you'll have happy hour prices that you can enjoy the game as well. You're listening to the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodaux Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home, at Thibodeau Regional.
Hi, I'm Lindy LaRue with Donlin Construction. Are you thinking about starting a new project? Well, if you have an idea, we'll make it happen. Donlin Construction, a state-licensed contractor, offers many services from site work, concrete paving and foundations, to customized office buildings and warehouses. Whatever service you require, Donlin Construction will make it happen. Just call 985-798-7788. Donlin Construction.
The Nazis are in the midst of purging American history.
We need to wake people up fast.
The Amazon Prime Video series returns.
The fascists can be beaten.
We can end it. I know we can.
Watch the new season of The Man in the High Castle now on Amazon Prime Video.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 12th, St. LaFouche versus Morgan City. Our broadcast is sponsored by Jimmy T. Jim LaFont, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat C, Joe Septic Contractors, Advanced Eye Institute, Pipeline Construction and Maintenance, Vision Communications, and Francis Bruce, candidate for Greater LaFouche Port Commission Seat H. Friday night football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
You can follow Mike Conte on Twitter at MikeConte929. So much I can talk to you about here in such a little amount of time. Mike, first off, good afternoon to you, man. How you doing?
I'm good, Gus. How are you?
I got to start with this. And look, we're going to get to the Falcons here in a sec. We'll ask you about your Nittany Lions and the, you know, the Braves. But, dude, you are the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United FC. And I've become a bigger soccer fan, obviously, with the World Cup, the last two World Cups. We've covered it. We've done shows. We've had Coach Kenny Farrell of the Jesters on leading into the World Cup and all that. But my goodness, man, you guys get like, what, 70,000, 60,000 for the games and stuff, right? I mean, you guys have to be one of the leaders in attendance in MLS.
Yeah, we are. It's crazy. The night before the Saints were up here, Atlanta United was playing Real Salt Lake, and some of my old buddies from the Saints that I knew from my time in New Orleans were asking me for tickets, and I got them some tickets. And what I kept hearing from them was, I cannot believe they can get 72,000 fans in Atlanta for soccer. Every seat full at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for that match, and it's been that way all year. I don't know how it's worked this well. it's amazing. It's flabbergasting. I'm honored to be a part of it. It's the darndest thing, because Atlanta has had, I think, a well-earned reputation for being not a very good sports city, where the locals don't support their local teams. I think with Atlanta United, it was just kind of right place, right time, where, you know, transplants, people who have moved to the city from elsewhere, were looking for something that they could kind of coalesce around. You know, if you move from New Orleans to Atlanta, you don't want to root for the Falcons. It's feel like you're cheating on the Saints, right? But, you know, all due respect to the Jesters, you don't really feel like you're cheating on the Jesters to root for the Atlanta MLS club. So I think that's the way it's worked here, and it's really been remarkable to see.
No, I'm with you. Like I said, it's growing for sure. And obviously what took place to the U.S. national team and missing out on this World Cup, a lot more attention has come to the future of soccer. And so I want to ask you this, because when I knew I was going to have you on as a guest, I thought you might have an opinion on this. I don't know if you saw the story this week on the Mexican, you know, football president kind of talking about, hey, maybe when the World Cup comes to North America, in which it's Canada, Mexico, and the U.S. hosting, that might be the best time to start a joint league. And you kind of seen that right now, where the Mexican champ faces the MLS champ sort of in a, you know, for a cup and something like that. I love the idea, because if you watch Mexican soccer, it's followed really, really good. Even here in the States, it gets good audience. And you're seeing teams like either Atlanta, Seattle, and some of the other ones you travel to, Mike. Soccer's followed, man. If it's done right, and there's pockets there, and if it's, you know, supported, I can see it growing, but what do you think? I love the idea of a North American sort of league where champions play each other and, you know, different clubs play. I think it would hit, man.
Well, I think you're going to have a problem if you're talking about combining Liga MX with MLS, because you're going to have 50 teams in the league, first of all. And from a player salary standpoint, the guys who are playing in Liga MX are making way, way more money than players in MLS. So when collective bargaining comes back in 2021 in MLS, I think the majority of MLS owners are not going to support a model where they're going to be paying their players the same amount as the Mexican teams are paying their players. I think what's more realistic, Gus, is you're going to see something like what they have in Europe with the Champions League. And you already have the CONCACAF Champions League right now in North and Central America. But I think what you might see is, okay, teams 5 through 12 in MLS and teams 5 through 12 in Liga MX, maybe they play a version of a Champions League where they have a group stage and then a knockout round where you're only adding 6 or 7 matches, but you still have the potential where Tigres could come up and play FC Dallas, which would be incredible. I mean, it'd be insane. You could have Pachuca come up and play New York Red Bull. You could have Atlanta United go down to play Club America. I mean, it would be insane to have those kinds of matches, but I don't think it's sustainable from a financial standpoint if you combine the two leagues.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Mike Connie 929 over in Atlanta joins us here on the Sports Hangover. It's the way to follow him on Twitter as well, MikeConnie929. So you're part of the Falcons Radio Network. We apologize for that for you. But seriously, dude, how no one saw 1-4, right? I mean, now, look, the injuries on defense, that's the easy way to point to it. Is it just that, though, Mike?
I don't know if it's just that, because 1-4 is 1-4. Now, I would point out they have lost 3 games on literally the last play of the game.
Yep.
So, you know, they're really close to being 4-1. They're also very close to being 0-5. Gus, I don't think any NFL team can overcome losing 4 Pro Bowl caliber players on one side of the ball. I mean, it's not like they lost 2 guys on offense, 2 guys on defense. You literally took a melon baller and you scooped out the middle of this defense, taking out Grady Jarrett, Deion Jones, Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen. No team in the NFL can overcome anything like that. The Falcons on Sunday, this past Sunday when they got blown out in Pittsburgh, they had to play 5 guys on defense alone that weren't even in this building at the start of the season.
Wow.
And it's not like you're going to be able to just go out and find guys on the street who are going to be able to produce at the same level of a Deion Jones, a Keanu Neal, and Ricardo Allen, a Grady Jarrett, anything like that. So, yeah, injuries are absolutely a huge part of it, enormous part of it. But that can't be all of it. And I don't think Dan Quinn wants to use injuries as an excuse. I think some of that is coach speak. Coaches can't go out and throw the players that are healthy under the bus and say, well, they aren't as good as the guys who got hurt. You have the execution errors on offense. They had a really tough time on first down in Pittsburgh, which put them behind the chains and allowed the Steelers to kind of tee off on third down, and they got 6 sacks as a result. If you look at Matt Ryan's numbers, they've been great. Calvin Ridley's been great. But this offensive line has kind of reverted back to the O-line we saw in 2015, and it's guys like Alex Mack and Ryan Schrader who have not been liabilities in the past who are really, really struggling. So those are 2 healthy guys who aren't getting it done right now, and that's kind of magnifying the issue.
Mike, I guess, you know, when you take a look at it as well in the NFC South, Saints 4-1, Panthers 3-1, Buccaneers 2-2, and Falcons 1-4, and Tampa and Atlanta play this weekend. Look, I hate that phrase, must win. I mean, they're all big, but 1-5, you're thinking next year, right? I mean, you have to have this if you're Atlanta.
Honestly, I think you're thinking next year right now, to be totally honest with you. I mean, I think if you're – that's me. I mean, that's not the team. That's just me.
Right.
I want to make that totally clear. That's just me talking. I think you're looking up right now. You're seeing New Orleans, who might be next to the L.A. Rams, the best team in the NFC. Carolina, who the Falcons actually beat, but, you know, that was pre-injury catastrophe. You know, I don't see them really taking a step back. Tampa's got a great offense. I mean, the Falcons right now are at a point, you know, Keanu Neal, Ricardo Allen are not coming back. Deion Jones, if he does come back, it might be in December. You are not going to get these guys back. Looks like Devontae Freeman should be out for a while now as well. You're not going to get these guys back. I mean, short of a trade where you could bring in some instant help, it's not going to improve overnight defensively. So you're in position now where I think you've got to score 40 points a game to win. And the Falcons have given up over 36 points three straight weeks. They scored more than 36 points in two of those, and they still lost the game. I don't know. I mean, it's short of a trade. I don't know of any way that this is going to fix itself until maybe week 11 or 12, and by that point it's too late.
Yeah, you mentioned, Mike, that fine line between winning and losing. The Saints could have been 0-3. I mean, you lose that Browns game. Okay, I have no doubt they go to Atlanta and don't win that game. And here's the other thing, too. You needed the 13th possession to Atlanta's 12th possession. You mentioned one of the two games that they lost on the last play, essentially on the last minute, with that in overtime. So, I mean, Atlanta could have more wins, and the Saints could really be the team that's won. It really is that close to me. It's crazy when you look at it.
But that's the thing, guys. I mean, you and I, when we did the voodoo games, I mean, we both used to say all the time, good teams find a way to win when they don't have it. I mean, the Saints defensively, I mean, their corners in that Atlanta game a couple weeks ago stunk. They still found a way to win. And now they're 4-1. The Falcons have not been able to find a way to win with all these injuries. That's the difference between a good team and a mediocre team. And right now, the Saints have that. One season, and the funny thing is, you know, if the Falcons were to beat Tampa on Sunday, and Tampa's defense is 32nd in the league in scoring defense, 31st in total defense, Falcons win that game, they're 2-1 in the division, 2-2 in conference. There are only four teams in the NFC that are over 500 right now, so they would still have a pulse. But like you said, if they lose on Sunday, I mean, 1-5, that's going to be very, very hard to overcome.
We'll wrap up with Mike Conti from Atlanta's 92.9 The Game over there, part of the Falcons radio network. And he's also a Penn State fan. Dude, that game against Ohio State was heartbreaking for me because I know you and I know what it was probably like for you. But your thoughts on college football season this year? I mean, are we really just waiting to see who plays Alabama in the national championship game?
Well, I think absolutely there. You are right. It's Alabama's championship to lose right now. I think the fascinating storyline that's developing is Notre Dame is going to take someone's spot in the playoffs. Who's it going to be?
There you go.
You know, is West Virginia going to run the table and get knocked out in favor of Notre Dame? Because I'm telling you guys, Notre Dame's not losing again. They've played all their tough games. So who's Notre Dame going to knock out? Are they going to knock out a second SEC team? Are they going to knock out the Big 12 champion? I think they're already ahead of the Pac-12 champion. Would the committee really leave out the Big Ten champion three straight years if Ohio State were to lose a game? So Notre Dame's going to knock someone out. Who's it going to be? Once we get to the playoff, I'm with you 100%. I think it's Alabama's to lose. And remember, too, Alabama and Georgia, if they both run the table, they're going to play in the SEC championship game. And I think the committee's been pretty clear. They don't want rematches. So that would essentially become a quarterfinal game. But I think if there's any hope, you know, for LSU, for example, to sneak in there after a loss to Florida, you got to start hoping really, really hard that Notre Dame loses the game somewhere.
There he is. Mike, man, always a pleasure. And, again, congrats on the gig to play the voice of the Atlanta United FC. And go ahead, chalk me up. My wife's sister just moved up there a little bit ago. We will be making our way to Atlanta to go visit. And if there's a game, I will be the one asking for tickets. I got to go see what this is all about. But I want to hang out in a booth, man, because I don't know how you called soccer. I've tried it once for CST. That is something completely different than basketball or football or baseball, all of which I've called. Props, man, for you to be able to call soccer.
Well, I got a stool in the booth for you and for Einstein. Come on up anytime.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time today, man.
All right, buddy.
Cool. We come back. Eric just won't leave. So I guess what? You know what? I'm going to ask you kind of what Mike just touched on about the college football season, really. Who are some of the teams that, you know, other than obviously LSU and stuff, that you think have a shot at a national championship and maybe look playoff bound? Because we're pretty much at the halfway point of the college football season. So we'll do that to wrap up hour number two as we're live from Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake in Metairie. It's 18th and Ridge Lake. That's the corner. You can't miss us. Come on by. If you can't today, shame on you. There will be next Thursday. We'll be here each and every Thursday, so come by and do that. And don't forget, coming up tonight, Game Time. John Forcade and myself, I'll be heading over to the North Shore right after here. The Dock in Slidell, 118 Harborview Court. Come try the seafood nachos, Eric Alexander. Yeah, it's what it sounds like. It's nachos just covered with seafood. It doesn't, it's not gross, I promise. Somebody was like, that sounds gross, crawfish and crab and all. No, it's, they make it work. They make it work. So, we'll do that tonight as well as we continue to get you ready for Eagles and Giants, an NFC East matchup to kick off the next week of the NFL. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Napa Know-How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on parts and accessories. 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. That's a bag you just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/18.
Rogers Parts, nationally known, locally owned. Lockwood, Morgan City, Libertyville, LaRose, and Galliano.
Peter Don's Carts and Accessories, where you get the lowest prices in the area on golf carts and other motorized carts, as well as parts. Peter Don's sells refurbished gas and electric club cars and EZ-Gos, and wait until you see the huge showroom filled with parts and accessories. Now through October 31st, the T105 Trojan 6-volt battery is just $99. Peter Don's gives you more for less and the best selection of motorized vehicles, plus that one-year warranty on all parts. Peter Don's, West Main and Houma.
Looking for hardwood floors? Then don't pay retail. Shop where the dealers buy at New Orleans Flooring Distributors, Louisiana's exclusive AquaWood dealer. The only hardwood floors that are 100% waterproof. That's right, completely waterproof. And only at New Orleans Flooring Distributors. The best selection and prices on everything from hardwood to vinyl to carpet. For a great flooring experience, call 504-249-6394. That's 504-249-6394. Or visit them on LNA Road, off Airline and Metairie, or online at nolaflooring.com.
New Friend Building Materials has been around since 1955 and is growing every year. We continue to be a proud family company in our second generation ownership and working on the third. We do our best to cover all your building needs while providing top-notch customer service and priding ourselves on not letting you leave without a smile. From small birdhouses to hotels and apartment complexes, there's no job too big or too small for us to handle. Our four convenient locations to serve you include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Belchase, and Slidell. So come stop by and see how we can help you and have a blessed day.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of LaRose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. You're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, LaRose. Thank you for listening.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Dead Sarah, you're the poet in my heart.
We are trying desperately. Eric Alexander can attest during the break. I mean, short of, like, picking her up and putting her in the chair and then you forcing a headset on her with, you know, again, that might be considered assault and battery. So
probably
we cannot get Sarah to sit here and talk about Vinny. So I guess we'll just have to do it for. I mean, do we do it like in a Sarah voice? I don't know.
No, just do it normal.
Just do it normal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Vinny's good place to come and eat. 3217. I can't do it. 3217 Ridge Lake Drive. Look, the kitchen stays open to 4 a.m. They're open to 5. And it's so the cool thing about this, too, you know, obviously, Eric with – and that's Eric Alexander, by the way. Prep football, late night games, whatever. It's sometimes instead of going and get, not that fast food doesn't serve its purpose and stuff, but the meatball sliders you had, imagine having that after maybe working a game late at night or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be definitely a spot that I come and check out. Plenty of TV. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, SportsCenter be, or if there's a game on, you'll have plenty
have
of access
packages,
to that.
Yeah. And the cool thing, Eric, is, again, this is what I notice when I walk into, right? Not that I never want to pay attention when you're talking to me, or Sarah was sitting at the table with us and talking to us as well. But I can look over her shoulder and see the TVs on. It's a shotgun. It's a shotgun-style bar, like a shotgun house,
mm-hmm.
right, if you're familiar with that phrase. And so where the way the high-top tables and the bar seats or the low-top tables are situated, we could have a conversation, and there's a TV over one of our shoulders.
Yep, I'm doing now.
Right, exactly. You're paying attention, but you're also watching the MLB station. I mean, so, and I'm looking at you, and I'm watching the ESPN station above your head. But, I mean, that's the beauty of it, is that you want to do that. So it's a great place to come watch games, folks, because, as I said, the happy hour specials are solid. Sarah, if she was here, would tell you, handcrafted cocktails include, it's not just like a beer or a special. You have all kinds of really cool specials. Like, do you like pork belly?
Do I like pork belly?
Okay. Have you tried a pork belly old fashioned?
No, I have
not.
Yeah,
see, that's
what I'm talking
about.
Intriguing.
Well, there's all kinds of different types that, of handcrafted cocktails that are like that. Yeah. A cucumber drink or something of that nature. Did you know that Japan has some whiskeys?
I did.
You did?
Yes.
See, I think of like Japan. I think of like the Orient. I think of, Sapporo. I'm a sushi guy, right? So I'm thinking of sake, mm-hmm. Sapporo beer, stuff like that. And then apparently there's a Japanese whiskey here that everyone, because I always ask, what should I try? And literally it's the Japanese whiskey. So I don't know what's in that Japanese whiskey, but it constantly gets referred to me for me to try when I come back on a night. So that's the one thing that's that's unique about Vinny's. It's not just the normal drinks that you can buy anywhere else. They kind of specialize in anywhere from 5, 10, 15, 20-year-old bourbons and whiskeys and stuff like that. So stuff that you can't really go find. And maybe, Eric, you don't want to go buy a bottle.
Yeah.
But you want to try and see what it's all like.
Well, they got whatever you want. If you want something cheap, they got that. If you want to kick it up a notch, they have that as well. So they have everything for everybody.
Sometimes you kind of want to have some, a little higher-end try stuff and stuff. So, look, again, come on in. Check it out. If you can't today, I got it, but think about it on the weekend to come catch some games here as well. Saints are off. We just talked to Mike. So you've been sitting here listening, so we heard Mike talk about the Bucks, Mike Neighbors, and Mike Connie talk about the Falcons here as well. When you look at the Saints, and obviously you asked me if you're a Saints fan or not, but you're a Patriots. Is it just New England for you, or do you follow another team?
Well, I've had to explain this. A bunch, and since moving to New Orleans about 4 years ago. So I grew up in the Houston area. I grew up watching and following the Houston Oilers. When they moved to the franchise to Tennessee,
right.
I kind of just stopped watching professional football. I didn't really have a team.
Really?
And then I went to college,
right.
And as I was in college, I guess the Texans came to Houston. Mm-hmm. So I did it, but I never lived in Houston then. So I was like, I can't just go to that team or follow that team. So when I got, picked up by New England, in 2004 after college, I guess I just kind of set the tone, became my team. Obviously, it made it easy because they were winning.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we start hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
Go.